Well, if you've been with us here the last 5 weeks, you'll know that we've been singing the songs of Christmas. We started with Joy to the World. We talked about that great event and how it certainly was a joyous time. The second week was that Christmas song, That's a Question. What child is this? Remember that? Written by a guy on his deathbed, contemplating who this baby was. Oh, come all you faithful. We talked about that, and then last week, Don did a great job talking to you about Go Tell It on the Mountain, one of my favorite Christmas songs. And today, we'd like to continue that by talking about Angels We Have Heard on High. An interesting song, because it is shrouded in mystery. If you study the history of Angels We Have Heard on High, you'll see a lot of uncertainty, okay? Some people called it the French Christmas Carol because it seemed first to be shared in France in the middle 1800s. But then as time went on, they found that it goes back much, much, much further than that. They even found parts of the song being sung by monks in monasteries hundreds of years before that. I even found one person that said that the significance of Angels We Have Heard on High is that it's really rooted and grounded in Luke 2. Right? Luke 2, angels appearing to the shepherds, and then the multitude there, and they're singing or praising God, saying and praising God. Doesn't necessarily say they were singing, but most people think it was singing. That they were praising God and talking about this blessed event. This Christmas song, this Christmas carol, is really rooted and grounded in Luke chapter 2. In other words, it is a scripture Christmas song. Now, I don't know about you, but I got thinking about angels. You know, some of you, I saw a couple people bring in a couple little babies. It was really interesting the other day at the hospital. I went up to see the Finelli twins. Did you know they made their entrance? Luca and Leo Finelli, twin boys. Then I went down and saw the Corklicks. Amanda and Steve had their little baby, beautiful little girl, Ireland. So we had all these babies. Somebody else told me about a baby that was born. Oh, that's right. Thank you very much. Carl and Linda DeCaspers welcomed their second little grandbaby down in Washington. That's probably not why they're not here today. Carl sent like 800 pictures. I only looked at the first two. She was very cute. Isn't it neat when you think about that? Because somebody said to me there, said, yes, this is my little angel, you know? Kind of got me thinking about the letter that was sent to Santa by this little boy. And this little boy said, Dear Santa, said, there's three little boys that live in our house. There's Billy. He is 4, and he's good some of the time, okay? There's Tommy. He's 3. He's good some of the time. And there's Willie. He's good all the time, signed Willie, right? I mean, we want Santa to think about us as being an angel this time of year. But have you ever noticed how much of the Christmas story talks about angels? Sometimes I don't think that we think about it enough. We think about, you know, the principal players, Mary and Joseph, and we think about the shepherds, we think about the wise men, we think about Herod. But almost every, with the exception of the wise men, and there's even some question about that, angels appeared in every moment of dialogue in the Christmas story. Let me give you some examples. You got Matthew in chapter 1, in verse 20, you have an angel appearing to Joseph, and the angel appears to Joseph, and he says what? He says, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, for the child conceived in her is of God. You have an angel appearing in Luke 1:11 to Zechariah. Zechariah happened to be the husband of Elizabeth. And it says that the angel of the Lord appeared to him while he was in the temple. And what does he say to him? He says, your prayers have been heard. The angel declares that, yes, Elizabeth is barren, but her barrenness was no more. And that she was with child. And she was going to give birth to a son. And it even describes and saying that this son will be dedicated to God, that he will never do these particular things, and that he will lead the way or open the door for the blessed Messiah that was to come. Then in Luke chapter 1 in verse 30, we have Mary appearing to this young maiden, Mary, And he says what? He says, Mary, you have found favor with God. I mean, Mary understood the rumble inside of her, and she knew that her and Joseph had not been intimate, and the angel appeared to her and told her that she had found special favor with God, that she was going to carry and deliver the very Son of God, the Savior of all people. And then our text, Luke chapter 2 and verse 9, it says an angel appeared to them, meaning the shepherds out in the fields that were living out in the fields watching over their flocks. And what did the shepherds say? The shepherds said, born to you this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You see, folks, you have all of these angels appearing to the people in the Christmas story. And I think God wants to speak to us today the very same things that they spoke to them about this birth. Have you ever noticed that the common denominator in all of the angel stories of the Christmas season, they all say, fear not. Matter of fact, the angel said to Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. The angel said to Zechariah, don't be afraid. He said to Mary, don't be afraid. He said to the angels, don't be afraid. Now, it's interesting. My son-in-law, the Greek scholar, he was talking to me about this the other day, and he was saying that this is an interesting phrase in Luke chapter 2 because the idiom in Greek literally says that they feared a great fear. That they feared a great fear, meaning that the fear was magnified. It was big. In other words, can you imagine an angel appearing to you and then all of a sudden a heavenly host appearing to you? They're shouting or singing to you. And I love the King James Version. Matter of fact, a good friend of mine here at church said, Pastor John, quote the King James Version when you do the Christmas story from Luke 2, because it says there that the shepherds were sore afraid. Right? One version says that they were terrified. This version here, you know, says that their terror was magnified. The King James says that they were sore afraid. Remember, that's the way we actually memorized that verse years ago. But folks, listen to me. It really does illustrate the fact that the Christmas story was all about dispelling fear. I talked to somebody recently who shared with me that they dread Christmas because they don't like the crowds. Arlene and I tried to get from the Logan Valley Mall to Jethro's yesterday afternoon. It took us an hour and a half. Actually, I think it was about 12 minutes, but it felt like an hour and a half. You know, and you get in those great crowds, and what do you say? You usually say something like I said. It's like, man, we should have just stayed home. This is crazy, right? You just get in the crowd. Why is that? Why do we feel like that we're being pressed in? We're being threatened. Did you hear the story about the guy that was in line on Good Friday? And it was almost time for the store to open, and all of a sudden this guy started cutting line. And these people grabbed him, and they kind of just manhandled him and threw him to the back of the line. And that guy waited a few minutes, and he did it again. And the people got a little bit rougher, and they kind of threw him down on the ground and even gave him a swift kick and got him at the back of the line. A few minutes later, he tried it a third time, and they really roughed him up that time. And he's standing in the back of the line, his clothes are ripped, his actually brow is bleeding, and he says, you know what, they do that one more time, I'm not even going to open the store. You know? I mean, at Christmas time, we get out there, and we just get a little freaked out, we get a little bit of afraid because of the crowds. But you know what, folks, I think the crowds should excite us. The crowd should excite us because this is magnifying and showing people exactly what God is wanting to do. Matter of fact, let me add the second thing here to it, because if you read this passage closely, I love what the message says when it says that I'm here to announce a great and joyful event that is meant for everybody. That this glorious event was meant for everyone worldwide. A Savior has just been born in Davidstown, a Savior who is Messiah and Master. This is so crucial, folks, because think about it. We look back in hindsight, and we are thankful that this message has been taken to the whole world, or is being taken to the whole world. But in Jesus' day, the Jews were the ones looking. The Jews were the special people. This was such a revolutionary idea that this birth was for the whole world, not just one particular segment of the people walking on this planet. You see, folks, God wants to dispel fear. And the birth of Jesus Christ, that first Christmas, was so that we could dispel this great and glorious fear. And you know what? One of the most least fearful things in the world is a baby. It's a baby. Wrapped up in all of that is why Jesus came in the way that he came. He came to show us that he loved us, that he cared for us, and that he was going to walk with us every moment of every day. He came to dispel our fear. Who's afraid of a child? He came to show us that this message of grace and salvation and love and forgiveness is not just for you and for me or for one small segment of society, but it is for everyone. A Savior has been born in David's town, he said. A Savior who is the Messiah and who wants to be our Master. But you know, there's another part of this passage that I think is really, really awesome. And it's this whole idea it says that an angel appeared and it said that born this day in the city of David. And then it says, if you look there in Luke 2, it says, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts. Now, if you study this word, a host is a word that refers to an army. Okay. Matter of fact, if you look it up, it doesn't give a particular number to it. It just says a very high number. So all of a sudden you've got this heavenly host. The Greek word there means army, an army in the sky. Almost giving you the imagery that this army of angels in the sky were like the stars in the heavens. And the Hebrew word for star is stratia. It's pretty interesting. So you got this army of angels that's in the sky like the stars. You know, God said that Abraham's descendants would be as numerous as the stars of the heavens. And how hard is it to count or to number or to name the stars? You know, you just start, you try to count them. It's hard to number them. It's impossible to number them. Well, that's what the shepherds saw when they looked up into the sky. And then he says this, that a multitude of heavenly hosts. In other words, it's not just an army of angels like the stars, but there's a multitude of armies. You know? Imagine, no wonder it said that they were afraid. I mean, think about that, folks. God in this Christmas gift wants to dispel our fear. He wants to tell us that this message of love and grace and forgiveness is for everybody. And he wants to make sure that we hear it because he allowed a multitude of the heavenly hosts to declare it there on that hillside outside Jerusalem. But so often we cower away and are afraid because the crowds are great. A couple days ago, Arlene and I were at the mall. She was drinking a glass of sweet tea and wanted a refill. I walked over to the little pretzel place to get her a refill. There was like 28 people in line. I went back and I said, honey, there's 28 people. I don't want to stand in line that long for a refill. She said, oh, it's okay. So she took her glass back, and after a few minutes, I said, here, let me have it. I'll go back. Maybe it's smaller now. And I went back, and there wasn't 28. There were 32 in line. So I went back a second time and I said, honey, you're just going to have to wait. It's, you know, all these crowds. Isn't it terrible that people are out celebrating this wonderful event? And after a little while, she said, I'm going to go stand in line. And I let her. After a few minutes, I felt guilty. I saw one of her friends sitting at a table and I went over and I said, here, honey, I'll stand in line. You go visit with so-and-so. And she did. I got up. I got my refill of tea. And then the lady at the pretzel place simply said, Merry Christmas. And I said, yes, it is. And I wish the same for you. You see, folks, I think we're all like that. We allow our fears, fears of crowds, fears of whatever, get in our way. And we need to hear the message of the angel today that said, fear not. Don't be afraid. Because the event that we are celebrating today cast all those fears away. Because think about it. What's the greatest fear that anybody could have? The fear of not being included. The fear of not being remembered. The fear of being forgotten. And the angel said, born to you this day in the city of David, a Savior, and He's for everyone. You see, the message to you and I is that God is not going to exclude us. God has not forgotten us. God will not pass us by. But that this blessed event will be there for us. And then we must join the host of heaven in declaring that message to the world. You know, I think one of the most interesting things about this part of the story is that the angels never said, go tell. I mean, we've seen go tell it on the mountain. The angels never said to the shepherds, now go and tell everybody about this. If you read the story closely, the idea of going and telling and going and seeing came from the shepherd themselves. The shepherd said, let us go and see. And after they experienced this beautiful birth, then they went and they shared this message with everyone. But the angels never said, go and tell. They were compelled to do so. Why? Because the angels had shared with them this most beautiful message. Those angels, they knew that the baby in that manger was no ordinary baby. That He was the Son of the living God, and He was coming to set the captives free. That's what He did. And the angels knew that, and they passed on the glory of that message to all the other people in the Christmas story. So a two-word question. Do you know what the angels knew? Because you see, when they first announced to Joseph, to Zechariah, to Mary, to the shepherds, when they first made the announcements of who was coming and why, of what He was going to be doing and what His name was all about, when they first made all of these announcements, nobody knew. Nobody understood. But they did. Because they grew to know the blessedness of this event. Do you? You see, because I really believe what I said at the table with Connie there. So much we make Christmas about what, not who. You know, and it's not about what we get, what we give. It's about who. It's about who came to love us and to forgive us and about who is blessed by that wonderful gift. But the blessing continues through our paying it forward and making a difference. Now, let me illustrate this. Let me show you a couple of, you recognize this? This is the couple of frames from the Charlie Brown Christmas. First aired in 1965. December 1965. CBS. It's been aired every year on CBS since that first year up into 2001. 2001, the rights were bought by ABC. So it was on CBS for all those years. Then it switched to ABC the last several years. Still on every year. But I bet I know three things about this TV program that you don't know. Well, maybe you do. Number one, it almost didn't air because of the poor production that was used to put it together. It's the very first animated special by Charles Schulz, Peanuts, but it became a classic, even though it wasn't done very well. I did not know. I just read this week. You know the one part where Schroeder is playing the da 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 da, and all of a sudden he quits playing and everybody else is still like dancing? That was a mistake. It was just an editing mistake. It never has been changed. Second thing, it's pretty interesting about it. I didn't realize this. They actually hired children for the speaking parts. In other words, they were very young children played the parts of all the different people in Charlie Brown's Christmas special. It became such a problem that the network wanted them to redo it, but what they ended up doing was that these children were so young and so inexperienced that they actually had to record them phrase by phrase and then tape it together. Have you ever noticed when you watch that, there's just something about the way they talk that just seemed a little bit different? That's what it is. There's like a pause and a break because that's just the way they had to put it together. Unbelievable. The first night of it was aired, believe it or not, it was the second most watched TV program of the week. You know what number one was? Bonanza. But it became instantly a Christmas classic. The third thing that's really interesting about it was way back in 1965, it was extremely controversial to quote an extended passage from the Bible in a children's special on TV. Now, we think that that would be unusual today. It was still unusual then. A matter of fact, I read that CBS didn't want them to do it. Quoted it, Luke chapter 2 from the King James Bible, but it instantly became a classic when Linus goes out on that stage. And surely, Charlie Brown, I'll tell you what Christmas is all about. And he goes out, and what does he say? He simply quotes the Christmas story from Luke chapter 2. But here's my point. You know what I think? You know why I think it's endured and been so prolific and successful? Because it's the truth. How about it? It is just simply the truth of the Christmas story. And folks, I'm here to tell you that I think if we keep telling the truth about the Christmas story, it can continue to make a difference in the lives of people. What is the truth? The truth is that we don't have to fear anymore because of what God has done. This gift, this baby, takes away all our fear. We don't have to fear because we are a part of His family. What is the truth? The truth is that no one is excluded. The only people that are excluded are the ones that exclude themselves. I mean, think about it. The greatest fear we have is that we will be forgotten. True story. Last weekend I was with our kids. They gave us our Christmas gifts, and I did not get a Christmas gift from either of my children. I mean, mom got one, and grandparents got one. Everybody, they gave one to each other, and I'm thinking, where's dear old dad? And then they let it out. Dad, we shipped yours to the house. It was waiting on me on my front steps from FedEx when I got home. But isn't that us? We're afraid that we're going to be excluded. Listen, folks, God did not exclude you. He included you. He included you in the precious promises of what Christmas is all about. And when it says that this message of joy and peace is meant for everyone worldwide, it's for you and for me too. We just have to hear the multitudes singing, the multitudes praising God, and then choose, as the shepherds did, to be a part of that proclamation of the goodness of this event. And when we do that, then we'll keep singing the songs of Christmas. And the songs of Christmas will continue to make a difference in our lives and in the lives of those that hear us sing. Someone once said that no one will listen to your message until they know that you love them. I pray that our message to all the folks around this community this Christmas is that we love them. And as we continue to pay it forward, may it continue to make a difference in the lives of people by dispelling fear, by knowing that they are a part of this wonderful event of salvation. And the only way they can be excluded is if they exclude themselves. And then may we join with the multitudes in proclaiming to the world just how wonderful God is. That baby born in a manger was no ordinary baby. That He was the Son of the living God. And He came to set the captives free. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, Lord, thank you for the blessed story of Christmas. And Father, I pray that we would hear the angels. Lord, Joseph heard them. Zechariah heard them. Mary heard them. The shepherds heard them. Certainly, Lord, the world heard them when they shouted glory to God on the highest, in the highest, in peace. So, Father, I pray that as we hear this blessed message of Christmas, that it will dispel our fear, that it will know, Lord, that we are included, not excluded. And then as we join together, Father, may we make a difference in the world in which we live. May everyone within our area, Lord, hear us and know of your great love and of your great grace and mercy. Thank you, Father, for Jesus Christ, the Son of God, born in Bethlehem, our Messiah and King. In his name we pray. Amen.